And I remember in the days when my wife and I were struggling with tremendous poverty in the early years of our married life, I said, it doesn't matter, Lord. It doesn't matter how poor I am. I will not violate your principles. I will not go against your principles. I will never beg or ask anybody for money. I will never send any prayer letters anywhere asking for money. I'll never go to rich churches for money. I will not depend on man. If you choose to keep me poor, I'm willing to be poor all of my life. And when you feel I can have a little more, you'll give me. I mean, the Lord doesn't torture us. No. He tests us to see whether we grab. And when we don't grab, He'll give it to us. He'll say, put your Isaac on the altar. I don't want sheep. I don't want your 10,000 sheep. Put Isaac, the one you love the most. And when Isaac did it, Abraham did it, what did he lose? He gave him back. And I've experienced that. I've really experienced that. There was a day in my life when I, with my ambition to be the admiral of the Indian Navy and to make a lot of money, the Lord said, give it all up. And I obeyed him. But God doesn't call everybody to do that, but he did call me. And I laid Isaac on the altar. I gave up my ambition to be great in the world, and I gave up all. I emptied my bank account and I said, okay, I'm out. That's how we, my wife and I, were poor when we were married, because I'd given it all away. And the Lord tested me for years to see if I would just compromise a little here or there. And when He had finally tested me over a number of years, we never starved. Though we were poor, we never starved. God never allows us to be without food and clothing. But we had to be happy with what little clothing we had. We couldn't buy new clothes for our little children. No. You just got to use whatever they have and hand it down to the next child, and that next child hand the same shoes down to the next child, and that's how it was. But we survived. And the blessing of the Lord was not in terms of money. It was in terms of such spiritual wealth that descended upon us and our children that I would never exchange it for all the millions and billions of money anybody can make on this earth. And that's why I won't have a regret in heaven. I will have regret about those early years when I didn't take the things of God seriously. But I thank God that from a certain point in my life, it was different. I hope it will be like that with all of you. I really wish you the best, not on earth, but in eternity. I wish you the best. You know, people on earth say, I wish you the best in the coming years of your life. I wish you the best in eternity. That you'll have zero regret, at least from today onwards. Forget the past. The Bible says in Acts 17 verse 30, the times of ignorance God overlooks, but now He commands you to change your mind. So assume that up till now you were ignorant of some of the things you heard till today. Okay. Acts 17:30. He overlooks it. But now He tells you to change your mind. Repentance means change your mind. And so it's sad that He went that way. And then Peter said, Lord, we gave up our home, verse 28, and followed You. What's there for us? He says, I say to you, listen to this, if there's anyone who's had to give up his house or wife or brothers, you know, for the sake of the faith, many people in India had to be turned out of their homes. It's real. Who've turned out of their house, their wife has forsaken them, or their brothers, parents forsook them, children forsook them, for the sake of the kingdom of God. They will receive many times in this age, at this time. In other words, even on earth, God will reward you. I've seen that. God's rewarded me with so many homes, blessed fellowship with so many families in so many countries, and also more than enough for my financial needs, more than enough, far more than enough. In this time. You get it in this time. It's not all in eternity. and in eternity, eternal life. It's like the best of both worlds. But that's because you forsook this world. If you seek for the best in this world, then you may get it here, but you lose it in eternity. So that's chapter 18. We go to chapter 19. Here's another subject, is money again. There was a man, verse 2, called Zacchaeus. He was very rich. Sometimes we think rich people have no interest in God. This man had tremendous interest in God, even though he was a cheat and a crook. But he had a hunger for God. I mean, they are rare. Most rich people are only interested in their money. And he went to see Jesus, and because he was small in stature, imagine a rich man climbing up a tree. Pretty undignified. But he was climbing, he was so eager to see Jesus. I wonder how many people are willing to do undignified things to see Jesus Christ. They want to meet with Jesus in a dignified way. Well, no wonder they never meet with him. Here was a man who was willing to do anything, do something so undignified as to climb a tree. I want to see Jesus. And the Lord saw that man's heart, and the Holy Spirit prompted him. See, Jesus was so much in touch with the Holy Spirit all the time, every moment, because he walked in such freedom from sin. This is what I've coveted in my own life. I say, Lord, I want to be free from sin so that I can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit telling me different things. And as Jesus walked down the road, the Holy Spirit said, stop. Look up at that tree. And Jesus immediately responded to the Holy Spirit. There's a man there called Zacchaeus. The Holy Spirit even revealed his name. Go to his house. Stay with him today. Not just visit. Stay with him today. And he calls him, Zacchaeus, come down. Came down. And he said, verse 5, I must stay at your house tonight. I'm not coming for a brief visit. I like that. And all the people grumbled him, saying, aha, this guy is supposed to be a holy man, verse 7, he's gone to the house of a sinner. But he came for sinners. He didn't come for those who think they were holy. So naturally he'd go to the house of sinners. And now, there was a man who was prepared for meeting the Lord. As he reached his house, it says Zacchaeus stopped. Have you ever read a verse like this? I don't think there's any other verse like this in the Bible. They're two walking together and suddenly one person stops. Zacchaeus stopped outside his house and said, hang on, Lord. I want to expand what he said. This house has been built with money that I got by cheating others. So before you enter this house, I've got to tell you something. Otherwise, you're a holy person. You can't come to this house built with other people's cheating. I cheated people and built this house. It looks so grand, but it was all by money I got by cheating people. So I want to tell you something, Lord. All the money that I got by cheating, I'm going to repay. And I'm going to pay with interest. You know, he was good at calculation and said, I'll pay back four times as much as I got it. Four times as much as I stole. And then there are so many other people, I don't even know where they are. So I can't just say, well, I don't know where they are, so I don't give it back. No, but I can't keep that money. It's taken wrongfully. I'll give it to the poor. Today I would say I put it in the offering box. That's what I advise to people. If you don't know where somebody is from whom you stole money, give it to the Lord, because he's the ultimate owner of all money. Put it in the offering box. That's, in Israel it was give to the poor, but in the church we say put it in the offering box if you don't know from whom you stole that money. But you can't keep it. You can't keep it. You have to return it. I remember when I was a young, unconverted, I cheated the government of taxes. And when I got converted, I realized I had to return it. I wasn't caught or anything. Nobody would know it because it happened years before. But I sat down and calculated, and I found I was a naval officer those days, and it worked out to about 4 months' salary of mine. I said, wow, that's a lot of money. How long does it take to save 4 months' salary? It took quite some time, but one day I saved it, And I said, now let me go. I cheated customs duties and all that. I went to the customs office to find a department where they would take back money from that honest people wanted to come back and give. There was no such department where honest people wanted to come back and give money, because they'd be out of a business. The man would be out of a job. So I said, what to do now? In India, the railways are run by the government, unlike here where it's run by private companies. So I said, I got to give this money back to the government. So I went to the railway station and bought the longest distance, most expensive tickets I could buy, number of tickets for all that amount of money, and tore it all up. I was happy. My heart was empty. My bank account was empty. My bank account was empty. My heart was full. That's how I began my Christian life. If I had not done that right at the beginning of my Christian life, I would have been carrying a chain, a shackle with my leg. I would have been running, but with a chain on my leg, and I would never, never have been able to make the progress I did in my Christian life. There are many Christians who leave something unsettled in their past life, some forgiveness they have to ask somebody, some money that has to be returned, but they're running. But they don't realize there's a chain in their leg, and they wonder, why am I not making more progress in my Christian life? Why don't I get more revelation on Scripture like some others do? You know the answer. Get rid of that chain.